Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Some people, Lance Armstrong for example, make a handsome living riding bicycles. Some ride for exercise. Some, members of bicycling clubs, ride for social benefits. Some ride to help the environment and make a political statement about pollution. And, as Eugene Son recently discovered, some ride for donuts.
The last time someone brought a box of donuts to you, you probably felt a little guilty if you had more than one. But imagine if you were in a place where people talk casually about eating a dozen, maybe two dozen. That's what happens at the Donut Derby. And everyone thinks they've got the winning recipe. 15-year-old Jake Hoover bike races all the time, but still eats like a teenager. He's convinced that this is his edge.
I'm fairly iron-gutted, so I'm quite confident in my digestive abilities.
Phil Asempio is riding a tandem with his wife, Sherry. He thinks they will eat a dozen between them. The strategy is simple.
Get to the first stop first, eat donuts till we see a tandem team, and go.
Bob Van Holt is riding with his 13-year-old daughter, Jenny. He's not so worried about winning.
We wait for the fast guys to get out of the way. We take our time, we get to the park, we eat some donuts, then we kind of have fun with it.
Gwen Hoover says her bike club, the Lehigh Valley Wheelmen, came up with the Donut Derby 7 years ago to bring together two cycling camps. The racers who count the grams on their carbon-framed bikes, and the touring riders who think a bakery is the perfect ride destination.
People who ride really hard and have fast times don't eat as many donuts because their stomach's unsettled, and the people who sort of cruise out there can put them away. So it really levels the playing field. It's a nice handicap system.
That's the start!
300 riders queue up at the starting line. There are racers from local colleges who don't seem to have an ounce of fat on them, and guys whose cycling jerseys don't look like they could hold another donut. There are people with fancy, expensive bikes, and a few junkers.
Where are the fatty ones? I want those.
Wait, which is which again?
This is low calorie, that's low fat.
12 miles into the course, racers get to the first stop. You don't have to eat donuts, but you do have to stop and get checked in. Bees hover over tables full of glazed Krispy Kremes. Each one is skewered with a popsicle stick. Riders turn in their empty sticks on their way back to their bikes so that the donut marshals can keep track. Discussions about strategy can get pretty garbled as riders down donuts.
How many are you going for?
I'm feeling 10.
10 total or 10 now?
10 now.
10 right now.
How many for the whole day then?
I'm trying to go for Gut Buster Award.
Would that be like 30?
Yeah, 28 was the winner last year. So I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm going to try.
I rode this race last year, ate 7 donuts, and over 30 riders placed ahead of me. This year, I downed 5 glazed donuts at the first stop and even felt good after getting back on my bike. After eating 4 more at the second stop, double digits beckoned. After I finished my 10th, I got back on the bike. The first 2 miles were tough. 10 glazed donuts were sitting like lead in my gut. Fortunately, they stayed there. I'm not sure if the sugar high kicked in or what, but it got easier with 8 miles to go. I was tired when I crossed the finish line, but not the least bit hungry.
Oh, I just finished. Legs feel heavy. Stomach, not too bad. And I'm done. Woohoo!
It took me a little over 2 hours. With 10 donuts and 3 minutes deducted for each one, my donut adjusted time, or DAT, was 1 hour, 36 minutes. Slightly better than last year, but 42 minutes behind the winner, Frank Gonzalez, who ate 26. As he put it, 2 dozen plus 2 for good luck. Gonzalez says eating single donuts is a waste of precious time.
What I learned is that air takes up space, so I stacked my donuts up and smashed them down and ate them 4 at a time.
Ed Generos, who ate 20, came up with a strategy by watching the Nathan's hot dog eating contest on TV.
I carried a cup in my jersey and filled it with water and dunked the donuts in the water.
And it definitely helped get them quicker?
Oh, much quicker. Because all that water absorbs into the donut and it turns to mush.
So you're almost drinking it?
Almost. Very little chewing.
If you're wondering how people can eat a dozen or 2 dozen donuts and ride fast enough to win a bike race, you should meet Joe Skelly. He ate 28 donuts last year and won the Donut Derby. Skelly brings a team of friends each year who ride around him, sheltering him from the wind and letting him go quickly without working so hard.
I ride this race like I'm Lance Armstrong, and that's my team, you know. These guys are here specifically to ride for me, They know that. If they ever have a problem with that, then they're out.
Skelly's big enough that I wasn't going to ask him his weight. College-age racers try to compete with big eaters like Skelly, but often have trouble. Christian Mambelli of the Monmouth University team certainly tried. He and his teammates drank beer in the parking lot while waiting for the results. Mambelli was almost ashamed to admit choking down a dozen.
I'm just drinking the beer now to forget that I ate 12 donuts earlier. But I've been sticking to a lot of chicken, proteins, beans, salad. And I lost a lot of weight this year, and I think I just gained it all back today.
And what do you win if you take first in the donut derby? Not much. The donut marshals hand out medals to the top three finishers in each age category. And the person who eats the most donuts gets the Gutbuster trophy, a mountain bike tire painted gold attached to a pair of suspenders so it hangs where a spare tire should. For Only a Game, I'm Eugene Song.
The coveted Gutbuster Award for 2009 goes to Frank Gonzalez, who ate 26 donuts and finished with a donut-adjusted time of 52 minutes and 24 seconds.
Eugene San's story about the annual Labor Day Donut Derby in Allentown, Pennsylvania, will be featured on this week's program. Despite the fact that Melanie Audin was knocked from the competition on Wednesday, we'll have an update from the U.S. Open tennis tournament, courtesy of Bud Collins. Dan Wetzel will join me to discuss the opening of the NFL season, and I'll be speaking with Jay Price about his new book, Thanksgiving 1959, a remembrance of high school football on Staten Island when it was essentially the only game in town and Staten Island was still country. In addition, Only a Game's Karen Given will be taking the temperature of NASCAR as motor racing's season-ending extravaganza approaches. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.